You open in your Bible, if you will, this morning to the book of Matthew. Matthew, if you will, chapter 9. The book of Matthew, chapter 9. We'll begin reading at verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And of course, that's Nazareth. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine own house. He arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Note, if you will, verse 2. And this phrase, be of good cheer. See that? Be of good cheer. And that's what I want to preach about this morning. Be of good cheer. Father in heaven, we're grateful to be here. My, we felt your presence from the moment we walked inside this door. And it's so good to be with God's people, fellowship together. And Lord, just bless us the next few minutes. Speak to me and to these people. Speak what we need. Show us, Lord. May someone be saved here today, if it please thee. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, thank you. Be seated. Be of good cheer. Hey, we've gone through some strange times these past few months, have we not? And some things we never thought would take place in our country. If you're like me, I'm sort of sick and tired of everything that's going on around us. How about you? I heard about Mickey Mantle, you know, famous baseball player. And he'd never been thrown out of a baseball game before. So he got up to bat, and sure enough, first ball. The umpire called strike, and Mickey turned around. Nobody heard what he said, but he said something to the umpire, and the umpire says, out of here. You're out of the game. Boy, everybody was shocked. They couldn't believe Mickey Mantle had been thrown out of a ball game. So when it was over, the reporters and different ones were interviewing the umpire, and they said to him, what happened to Mickey? How come you put him out of the game? He said, you didn't know? They said, no, what? He said, he took sick. He wasn't feeling good at all. Yeah, and he was very tired. And so I thought the best thing for him would be for him to go home and rest. And so I told him, I said, you need to go home and rest. And the umpire and the people said to him, well, what did he say to you? He said, he turned around and told me he was sick and tired of some of the calls I was making here today. And you know, friend, I'm sick and tired, aren't you? Of some of the things that are happening. I'm sick and tired of this virus. I'm sick and tired of the riots and the lootings and the spitting in the face of our police officers. I'm sick and tired of abortion. I'm sick and tired of same-sex marriage. Hey, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Yeah, us Christians, we ought to be of good cheer. Three times Jesus said during his ministry, be of good cheer. And so today I want us to think about those three times, and I want to give you three reasons why we should be of good cheer today. Note here in Matthew chapter 9, we read the account. Be of good cheer. Why? Sins have been forgiven. Sins have been forgiven. You know, see, here's a large crowd that has gathered into this house. I mean, there's so many people in there, you cannot get one more person into that house. I've always dreamed of preaching in a church like that where you couldn't get one more person into the house. You know what I mean? I had that happen down in Cuba, and I've had it happen over in India. But, hey, be of good cheer. Sins have been forgiven. And here's Jesus. Now he's in this house. And there's no more room for anybody. Well, all of a sudden, there's a hole in the roof. And four men on the roof begin to lower down right in front of our Lord a cripple who's never walked. And, of course, these people have come to this house. They've known that Jesus has been around for a while, and people have heard how Jesus can speak. They've heard how that the deaf hear, the lame walk, the blind see, the dumb people speak. These people have crowded into that room just to, perhaps some of them needed to be healed, whatever. And that, all of that sudden, that hole comes in the roof, and down through the hole comes this man on a stretcher or on a bed, and right in front of our Lord. Can you imagine this guy? He must have been scared to death. I mean, how in the world did they get him on in a bed or a cot? How'd they get him up the ladder? And after they got him up there and got a hole in, then they're going to lower him down. And, you know, that thing must have been wobbling and shaking. And he thought, oh, any moment now, I'm going to fall off of this cot or of this bed. And when he got in front of the Lord, I can imagine the look on his face. And then I can hear our Lord saying, son, be of good cheer. Can you imagine that softening voice? Can you imagine that comforting voice? You ever heard it? You ever been in a hospital? You ever been facing difficulties, troubles and all? And you hear that voice, hey, son, be of good cheer. That's what he said to him, be of good cheer. And then Jesus says to him, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. And then he said, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy own house. Here's a man that's never walked, and all of a sudden now he picks up his bed and walks out of that house. Wow. What a Savior. And, of course, he's been healed. His sins have been forgiven. They've been covered. Past, present, future, all of it. Hey, did you know that's the greatest thing that can happen to anyone, anywhere, any place? And that is to have your sins forgiven. Amen. Oh, don't you know? Can you imagine those men on the roof? How they must have been shouting and praising the Lord. They went through all that work to get him there. And, of course, not only that, they're shouting in heaven. They're shouting in heaven over one sinner that repents and trusts the Lord as their Savior. Oh, I can't wait to get there. Hear all that shouting and all the praising the people do there. Hey, have your sins been forgiven? Have your sins been forgiven? We can be of good cheer if your sins have been forgiven. How did this happen? How do you get your sins forgiven? Well, notice all the work that it took, as I said, to get this man up a ladder or steps or whatever they went up. And then all the work that it took to cut a hole in the roof and then lower him down. But you know something? All of that work was not what healed him. In fact, Jesus said this in another account in Mark chapter 2 and verse 5. Jesus said, but when Jesus saw their faith, can I tell you something? You can be of good cheer when thy sins have been forgiven thee, and no sins are forgiven without faith. No works. Nothing of that, Jesus said. And, of course, Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, and this is the Baptist, we hold on to this one, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm telling you, without faith, it's impossible to be saved today. Well, some of you may have here. You might have got up this morning. Got dressed, got fixed up, and you went to a lot of work, and then got in your car, and you've driven here today, and you've sung the hymns, and you've heard the prayers and all of that. But that's not what saves you, friend. Not at all. Not at all. It's when you have faith to call on the name of the Lord and ask Him to save you. That's when your sins be forgiven thee. Remember, if you're saved and you know you're on your way to heaven today, it's because your sins have been forgiven. Not only are they forgiven, they've been taken away. Amen. All the way. What was it? John the Baptist? He's walking along with his disciples one day and he said, hold it. He said, look, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Hey, Christians, be of good cheer. Why? Sins are forgiven. Amen. What does that mean? Before our sins were forgiven, we were on our way to hell. That's what it means. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And then Romans 6:23 says, you're going to pay for those sins. The wages of sin is death. That's hell forever in the lake of fire burning in that awful place. Ah, but we got good news, don't we? Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then Romans in chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. That's the gospel. Thou shalt be saved. Amen, amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Isn't that wonderful today to know, friends? And look what it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, now we can be of good cheer, can't we? Our sins have been forgiven us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's what I did as a 9-year-old boy in a little basement church in Roseville, Michigan. I didn't know any doctor. I didn't know anything, but I knew one thing. I knew I was a sinner. I'd never stolen a car. I'd never robbed a bank. But I realized that day that I had disobeyed my parents. I had taken things that didn't belong to me. I said words that I shouldn't have said. Hey, I realized I was a sinner. And I knew if I died like that, I would not go to heaven. And that preacher preached that glorious good news that day. Hey, be of good cheer, he said. Be of good cheer. Your sins can be forgiven. And I put my faith and trust in Christ. That day he saved me. I've been saved ever since. I've been on my way to heaven. Why? Sins have been forgiven. Number two, notice the second time Jesus said, be of good cheer. Look to Matthew chapter 14. The book of Matthew chapter 14. And notice verse 27. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 27. We won't take time to read this entire count here. But notice what it says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Hey, friends, we can be of good cheer. You know why? The Savior is with us. We can be of good cheer. Sins are forgiven. We can be of good cheer. Savior is with us. Matthew 14, 22 through 33 gives this whole story. Hey, did you know something? Knowing your sins are forgiven is the most wonderful thing that could ever happen to anybody. But sometimes that's not enough. Knowing we are saved is absolutely the greatest thing that could happen to anyone, anywhere, any place. But this is not always enough, especially when the storms come. Now, Jesus has fed the 5,000, great miracle, not counting all the wives and children. Some estimate 20, 25,000 people were fed there by our Lord that day. And then Jesus constrains his disciples to get into a ship and go to the other side. He then sends that multitude away. And then Jesus went up into a mountain to pray. But meanwhile, those disciples and the ship they're in, they're in a storm. They're in the sea, out in the midst of that sea, and they have been toiling and rowing all night long, and now they're in the fourth watch of the night, which means it's between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. They've been rowing, they've been toiling all night long, and all of a sudden, Jesus comes walking to them on the water. Can you imagine how they must have felt? Now, look, they were afraid. They've been toiling. They're very tired. And now they see him coming, walking on the sea. They must have thought they were having a vision or something. You know, they're having some kind of dream. How could this be? They thought they were seeing a ghost. Hey, if you saw somebody walking across the river or out on the lake, walking on the lake, or out in the sea, walking on the sea, what would you think? Man, that's something wrong with me. Man, I've had a stroke. There's something wrong. You know, how could you believe somebody walking on the water? And here's Peter. I'm sure he must have thought this. He must have thought, boy, I'm having a vision. This can't be. How can anybody walk on the water? I've swam. I've done all these things in the water all my life. How could this be? And so he thought, well, to prove it, I'll just say, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to you. And the Lord said, yeah, come on. And Peter got out of the water. I mean, out of the boat and walked on that water. Now there's two men walking on the water. These men sitting in the boat. Can you imagine looking at this and all of that's going on? Two men are now walking on the water. All of a sudden, evidently, Peter turned around to look at the men. And when he did, he began to sink. And he cried out and said, Lord, save me. And you know, friends, the Lord reached down, lifted him up. May I remind you today, if you're here and you're lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all you have to do. Cry out to the Lord, save me. Well, don't you have to know this? And don't you? No. He said three times, by the way, that's said in the Bible. It says, whosoever shall call on me shall be saved. Isn't that wonderful to know today? Three times it's used in the Bible. Hey, perhaps you're in a storm. Who is it? Amen. Who is it? And you know you're saved. I mean, you're just as sure of heaven as if you've been there 10,000 years. Perhaps the storm has really got a hold of you. You know you're going to heaven when this life is over. Shouldn't that be enough, preacher? Well, it's not always enough, if we're honest. Last year, just before Christmas, I was scheduled to preach a mission conference at the Yokota Baptist Church in Yokota, Japan. That's a suburb of Tokyo. I arrived on Friday evening. The men picked me up at the bus station, and they drove me to the church. And there I was going to stay, a beautiful church building, and upstairs on the second floor, they built a beautiful prophet's room, prophet's chamber. And the women had fixed it up. They had water and lots of food, anything I wanted. And then the men said to me, "Now, preacher, tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, a gigantic typhoon with winds up to 220 miles an hour are scheduled to hit on Saturday evening, Tokyo and this part of the country." They said, "Now, preacher, everything's going to shut up at at midnight tonight, Friday night. Everything's going to close. There will be nobody on the streets. There will be no buses, cars, nothing. I mean, everything will be shut down." And they said, "Preacher," they sort of hung their head and said, "You're going to be all alone." Now, they gave me a couple of telephone numbers and said, "You know, if they work, you can call us," and so on. And So I went to bed that night, woke up the next morning. I read my Bible as I usually do, had my prayer time and all of that. And the day went along until about 6 o'clock Saturday evening. And that wind began to blow from that typhoon. Now, my wife, she had informed all of my family that Dad's in trouble and he needs you to pray. Well, that evening, one of my sons, I've got three sons and one daughter. And one of my sons called me up and said, "Dad, make sure your phone is charged up because electricity is going to go off and you won't have no way to communicate." I said, "Okay, thanks." I hung up and wasn't long. My other son called me up. He said, "Dad, you have a flashlight?" And I said, "Yeah, I've got one just like the one you gave me." I said, "I've got one here in my pocket. I'm all set." He said, "Good." And then my third son called me up and said, "Dad, are you afraid?" I said, "Well, I've never been in a typhoon 220 miles an hour. And by the way, that building was shaking by then. And the chair I was sitting in, it was bouncing up. I could hear stuff going down the street, being blown all over the place. And that thing was shaking. And then all of a sudden, out of my lips came these words. I said, "But, son, the Savior is with me." Amen. And you know, there was a peace came over me, started at the top of my head. It just went down. I mean, I've had that happen before. But I needed it that day, and that peace that passeth all understanding. You know why? Because the Savior is with me. Isn't that wonderful to know? That the Savior, you know what he said to us? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." That does away with falling from grace. That does away with falling and losing your salvation. Does it not? I mean, if that was true, that you could be saved today and lost tomorrow, Jesus just lied. Because said, "I'll never leave you." Wow, we've got it, haven't we? We can be of good cheer in the midst of all that's going on around us today. We can be of good cheer. We can cheer and thank God and all. How long is this storm going to last? These men must have thought. And then all of a sudden, they hear these words. And I don't think Jesus whispered. I think he cried out and said, "Hey, be of good cheer. It is I." Oh, can you imagine the peace that came over those 12 men? Can you imagine the peace as that storm and all that they're in and tossing and toiling and all that they've done, and all of a sudden that peace. And all of a sudden, the waves stopped blowing, the wind stopped blowing, the waves stopped, all of that. And immediately, they were on the other side. Friends, let me tell you something. Be of good cheer. Why? Our sins have been forgiven. Be of good cheer. Why? The Savior is with us. Whether you're in your hospital, whether you hear those awful words in Boy, no, none of us want to hear these words. The doctor hangs his head and said, I'm sorry, you've got cancer. All of those things so many of us have gone through and are facing even today. But to know our sins have been forgiven, to know, hey, the Savior's with us. Yeah, but preacher, what about this virus thing? I mean, everybody's getting it, seems like. I mean, when is it going to strike here? When is it going to strike me and all of that? What about the riots? And then look at this government that's coming in and they're all for it. And the looting and the burning and the killing and the fires and hurricanes and typhoons and cyclones and everybody with health issues and loss of jobs and financial difficulty and all that's going on. Hey, wait, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Hey, be of good cheer. The Savior is with us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We can shout on that, can't we? And then the third time that Jesus said, be of good cheer, John chapter 16. Turn there quickly. John chapter 16. Look at verse 33. John chapter 16 and look at verse 33. And notice again this wonderful words of our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 16. Notice verse 33. And it says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Get that? In Jesus, we have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Now, that's a promise. You can't get around that. Somebody said, well, I thought when I got saved, everything. No, Jesus has already promised you here. And this is a true promise. You shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why, Lord? I have overcome the world. Right. Not that I'm planning on overcoming the world. Right. Not someday I may overcome the world. Hey. He's already. Yes, already today, He's overcome the world. Yes, sir. We don't have a thing to worry about. Nope. Yeah, but preacher, look at this and look at that. Yeah, I've looked at it. And it is discouraging, I tell you, it is, if you let it. You know, we got, there's a war raging between the liberals and the conservatives, between the left and the right, between darkness and light, between, bad and good, between Satan and God. But we have sure victory. Amen. Oh, on the winning side. That's a theme song at Clay's Mill Baptist Church. We're on the winning side. And it's singing song here too, isn't it, preacher? We have the sure victory. And all the storms and all the things that are happening, sure victory. Now look at the story. Judas has left to betray our Lord. He's no longer with them. And Jesus now has left the upper room. And they're walking toward the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's talking with his disciples saying, now look, I'm promising you, it's not a possibility. It's not a question. It's a certain thing. You are going to have tribulation. So, friends, put it down. We're going to have tribulation. We've had it made here for the last several years, haven't we? Boy, in my lifetime, look at all the wonderful services I've been in and churches across the country and all the fancy, wonderful restaurants I've eaten in. All of those wonderful things that God has blessed me with. But you know something? All of a sudden, all of that comes to a screeching halt. Isn't that something? I average preaching every night for the last 21 years. And all of a sudden, 6 months ago, boom, I was home. I lived out of a suitcase for 21 years. I'd come in, I'd bring my suitcase, my wife would take my dirty clothes out, wash it. She'd put them back in the suitcase. For 21 years, I lived out of that suitcase. Two or three days later, I'd be gone again. But you know, 6 months ago, I'm home. Nowhere to go. My wife took advantage of it, I'll tell you. She had a list of things to do, and I'd always say, well, I don't have time. I don't have to. You got time now, bud. You get busy. And so a lot of things going on. But I'm just saying, hey, be of good cheer because you know something? Sure victory. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus assures us, I've overcome the world. And by the way, he's overcome Satan, too. Huh? Yes, sir. Oh, the devil. He's made all kinds of attacks on our Lord. He tried to keep him from being born. Remember that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 down through about verse 6. He did his best to stop Jesus from being born as a baby and all of that, you know, no room in the end, that kind of stuff. Well, that didn't work. Jesus got the victory over that. And then he tried when Jesus was crucified. Oh, I'll keep him in the grave. He ain't coming out. I'll stop. But on the third day, Jesus walked out of that grave alive. Another victory. And then it goes on there in Revelation, tells us that, during the dark ages, I teach the trail of blood all over the country. And, you know, during that dark ages, you know what happened? Oh, the devil thought, I'll put those churches out of business. 50 million Baptists over a period of 1,200 years had their heads cut off. You know why? Because they refused to compromise baptism. They refused to compromise salvation by grace. They refused to compromise the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they suffered, and the devil said, I'll put them out. Ah, but they gained the ground, didn't they? They went into that dark ages as true New Testament churches, and over here 1,200 years later, they came out again, just as much on fire, if not more, as because the Lord was with them. Well, the devil said, now, wait a minute here. There surely is something I can do. So he decided he'd put the Bible. You know, take the Bible and let's get some new translations. Oh, you can't understand that King James thing. These and thous, it's just so confusing. You won't be able to understand that. So let's get something where everybody, children, everybody can understand it. Let's put it down on their level. And then he left out little phrases. And he left out little words. And he left out little things and all of that. He thought, I've got them now. Ah, but you know what? There's always been that remnant, preacher. There's always been that much and said, hey, the word of God is not bound. Nobody's going to take it away. We've got it. So another victory. Well, then there's another battle coming in the future. And, of course, that's the battle of Armageddon. That's going to be bad. But guess what? Christ comes riding back to this earth on a white horse, and we're coming back riding on horses with it. I never forget one time, B.R. Lakin, you know, the great evangelist and pastor. B.R. Lakin preached on the second coming of Christ one night. And he told about how we're going to come back riding on horses, and Christ would be on a white horse and all that. So after the service, a lady went up to Dr. Lakin and said, Dr. Lakin, she said, I own a horse farm, and I sell very important horses. She must have lived here in Kentucky. And she said, we have special kind of horses. Could you tell me what kind of horse we'll be riding when we come back to this earth? Dr. Lakin said, look, ma'am, it's not my job to tell what kind of horses we're going to be riding on. He said, it's my job to get riders on the horse coming back to Jesus. Amen. Oh, yeah, friends. Yeah, the Battle of Armageddon, sure victory. Oh, but there's one more. There's one more. There's five battles all total. And there's one more battle. And that's in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 8, where Satan has been bound for 1,000 years, and now he's loose for a little season. Going to make one more attempt. I'll get him. Come on, everybody. You all fight. Now he's got every lost person that's ever lived from the time of Adam. He's got all of them. And they're going to make one great big battle against Christ and his saints. And you know what the Bible said? God just sends fire down from heaven. There's nothing left. Amen. I tell you, be of good cheer. Sure victory. Are you with me? Let's leave here today with a song on our lips, a spring in our step, and say, hallelujah, be of good cheer. Let's stand to our feet for a moment.